Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hello and welcome to this week's episode. Today I am joined by Diane Mayer, who spent over a decade in corporate in a fast-paced investment bank working behind the scenes in finance on planning, forecasting, projects, new product approvals and operations. She finally left because she felt like she wasn't making enough of a difference in the world and instead took all that experience and distilled it into real business essentials for small businesses making a big impact. She's passionate about travel, conferences, coffee, bravo, Converse, and spreadsheets. Hello.
Hi. Nice to chat to you again.
And you. I love talking to you. And I love talking to you about all of the things. And I love that you love all the same things as me, travel and spreadsheets and coffee.
Yep. It's important to find the people that you click with.
Weirdly, as an introvert, I really do like conferences. It's funny. I always thought that I wouldn't because there's so many people. But they're when you go to the right ones with the right people, they're so much fun.
Yeah, I definitely think it's almost like an art of finding the right conference for you. And because I'm a bit of a, you know, a hashtag event ho, I tend to be like the one that my friends are calling and going, I'm thinking of doing this conference. And I'm like, no, you don't want to go there. It's like super masculine energy. You're hugely empathetic. It's not going to work for you. But I think when you find the right one and it clicks, like the relationships that you can form are just life-changing.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to have to talk to you about loads about that off air, right. What does adulting mean to you? What does being an adult mean?
So it's interesting because I've been thinking about this since we met at a conference. Yeah. And I think it's really interesting that we hit kind of 18 and are suddenly just, it's like we're an adult. And like all you've really done to qualify for that is breathe for 18 years. That's essentially all you have to do to be considered an adult, which is kind of terrifying. And so I think adulting to me is the rest of your life trying to figure out what that means and how that works together and like how you get to the end of your life with people saying that like you're a good human and you did something and you leave some kind of legacy. But I think it's that journey from the moment somebody goes, congratulations, it's your birthday, you're now an adult, to the point where your life is over, where you're just going, what is going on? Like what worked last week isn't working this week. And I think it's that. I think it's that exploration. Mm. And I think a lot of people use adulting as like the boring. But for me, like some of it's boring. It is. It's taxes, it's chores, but some of it's really exciting. And so for me, if I've done adulting well, then the exciting will outweigh the boring over that journey.
I love the idea that adulting is not static, you know, that it's a journey, and it's got me thinking as you're saying, like all you've done is breathe and like this is on your 18th birthday, but like what qualifies that, right? Because in some countries in some religions you turn adult or you become a man at 13, right, or 14, and you know, then there's a ritual and a ceremony that goes with that, and that's really powerful, I think. But most of us don't get that opportunity. We don't get the opportunity to ritualize, you know. Maybe it's when we get our period, or maybe it's when you know, when you're allowed to drive, or is it when you're allowed to vote? Like it's so arbitrary, this kind of crossing over into adulthood thing.
And I think, so coming from Africa, for me, I'm used to that highly ritualized traditional movement into manhood or womanhood, where like there is a qualification, you know, you're out in the middle of nowhere and you have to survive for X amount of time for people to consider you a warrior. And for us, you know, the Western world, it's like, woo, you turned 18, let's go get drunk. I mean, if that isn't like, and then also at that age, you then start making decisions. Big decisions that impact the rest of your life. Like, what are you going to study at university?
Yeah, I also think that those big decisions just aren't as big as we think they are. But some of the discussions, totally. It's also really interesting. So when I think about all the people that I've interviewed or had conversations with or about adulting now, one of the things that comes up a lot is, well, it was having my children that made me become an adult, right? So I suddenly had another human to be responsible for, and that is what made me become an adult. And as someone who hasn't had children, I find that I totally get it. I completely understand it. And I also know that for myself, for a period of time, I was like, well, does that mean that I'm not a proper adult? Like, could I actually look after another human? I don't know that I could. I don't know that I could look after a dog. So it's just, it's a weird thing, this kind of what is the qualification or what like barrier to entry kind of thing.
And I think it's an interesting one. I definitely agree with you. I definitely feel that there is an element of like you haven't really adulted unless you've chosen to have children. And it's very interesting. I was actually looking at my group of friends the other day, and we're all super close. We've known each other since we were in our like late teens, early 20s. So we've kind of grown up together. And it's really funny. Like, I still fulfill my university role in the group. I'm still kind of the slightly wild child who's off doing amazing, unusual things and flitting from one thing to the next and one country to the next, where they've all kind of had children and grown up and are responsible and own houses and have done all of these things. And it's interesting that not having kids, I still sit in that same role. And I'm not sure whether it's me that perpetuates it or them that perpetuates it. I don't think there's any judgment around me not having children in the group, but it's an interesting dynamic that there's definitely a difference in our adulting because I choose not to have children and they have kids.
So it is a choice for you.
Yes. It's always been a choice for me. I think when I was in South Africa is so traditional. Like, I remember at 16, one of my friend's moms got us to all write down where we thought we'd be in 10 years. And I remember my sister calling me absolutely crying with laughter at when I was 26, because she'd gotten her hands on this letter. And I was, you know, it was the standard, married, 2.2 children, car, house, the whole shebang. And I'm in the meantime have like moved to London. I'm like living a completely different life. I'm kind of getting into travel. And I think once I escaped that, I actually sat down. People used to say to me the thing, oh gosh, it really, really used to annoy me. You just haven't met the right man. Well, I don't need the right man to want to have children. So let's start there. And it was this thing like you haven't had the right relationship. And when you do, then you'll want children.
So that's really interesting to me because I have friends in all areas of the spectrum. I've spoken with friends who are in the trying to conceive community and who all really want to have children. I've got tons of friends for whom it wasn't necessarily a choice, but who haven't had children. Then I've got other friends who it really is a conscious choice. And I feel like in this day and age where it's becoming more and more acceptable, and if it isn't, it really bloody should be, for us to be whoever the fuck we want to be and date whoever we want and love whoever we want and, you know, and have families that look however we want them to look, responsibly or whatever, that it's still an issue and that we're still being told, well, you know, you're not a real adult, you're not proper grown up until you've had kids.
Yeah, I think it's because it's so outside the realm, and people put themselves back at being a 20-year-old where they didn't want children and then meeting their then partner or whatever and then desperately wanting children, and they think it's the same thing. Whereas for me, it's a conscious choice where I've gone, okay, what is important to me? What do I want to get out of life? And how can I do that with children? And it doesn't work for me. For me, my core value is freedom. I don't want to be committed to a particular place because somebody else needs to go to school. I don't want to be committed to a particular place because somebody else has a job. Like, I had the most interesting conversation about this on the way to the airport with a taxi driver. Like, Dublin taxi drivers are the best. And we were talking about it, and I said to him, you know what? I'm just too selfish to have children. And he said to me, do you know what? You are the least selfish of everyone. because you are not bringing a child into the world that you cannot give 100% to. I understand why people want children. Mm. I genuinely do. I have a lot of friends who are kind of at that biological clock thing where it's like, ooh, do I freeze eggs? Panic. Do I date this guy longer even though I don't really like him because this might be my only chance? And I've never, genuinely never had that biological clock ticket. Never.
And so I envy you that. I really do. Because I've known I've wanted children ever since I was 20, when I got told I couldn't. And I got told I couldn't have them and then almost immediately got pregnant. And it was a huge shock to my system because it was a rebellion that meant that I wasn't being careful because I was angry.
Yeah.
And so I had a termination and I have lived with that choice my whole life, knowing that it was a choice that I needed to make at that time. But as I've got older, then gone into a place of like, well, what if that was my only fucking chance? You know, and it's complicated for everybody. And I think that's the thing, that it's, you know, I would love to live in a world where we didn't make rash judgments of one another without, or ever, right? But also, like, if we're genuinely interested, be really interested and accept the other person's perspective and opinion as their perspective and opinion and not feel the urge to change it.
Yeah, and I think that when people do actually listen to me talk about it and they're like, oh, you actually genuinely don't want children, this is interesting, tell me more, it tends to go the route of, oh, so you don't like kids? And it's either like I haven't met the right guy or I'm just a really horrible person. And I do like kids. I love my friends' kids. I also love giving them back when they're overtired, when they're crying, when they need a nappy change. Like, I'd be the first one down on the floor playing games with them for hours on end, no problem. It just doesn't work for how I see my life going. And at the same time, it's almost like you want that reverse respect. It's like, I respect the fact that you've chosen to have children. Mm-hmm. I respect the fact that you have chosen to put that above how our friendship used to work. I respect that you no longer want the career that we both planned.
Yeah.
Because you've had children. Like,
it's one of the things that I would love.
Yeah, how can it not come back?
Yeah, well, okay, so that's one of the things I was going to say, right? Like, I kind of feel like I'm outing myself or I'm in confession as I share this. But over the years, all of my friends, not all of them, a lot of my friends have had children. And I have really empathized, put myself in their shoes and done a lot of the running. Like, oh, well, you can't leave your house, or oh, it's going to be difficult for you to come out, or oh, we can't go and do the things that we used to do together, I'll come to you. And so with all of my friends over the years, I've made it work and put in the extra effort so that they still have a social life, so that they still get to see me, and so that they still get to do fun things. And I'm not purely selfless. I love their kids and I love them and I want to see them.
Yeah.
But it does very much feel that because it's one after the other, after the other, after the other, and at no point me, I have done a lot of running around in the friendship group. And sometimes I would like some just appreciation for that.
Yeah, I think I'm quite lucky in that because I'm so global, like, and I've lived in so many different places, I have so many different friend groups at different ages.
Yeah.
So kind of when my friends were like super in like the baby phase with all the toddlers and stuff, I was actually living in Hong Kong and like miles and miles away from it all. And then when I've come back, the kids are kind of older, so my friends are able to socialize in that. So I've had, I like that that relationship has stayed and that they, you know, they do make an effort to see me. But I think it's good that I skipped that stage. You know, that I miss that kind of that gap where it would have been me doing all the running, because I think I probably would have got fairly resentful. I know, like, when I was in corporate and the baby gift cards and everything started coming around for people's like third or fourth child, I would get told off because I was like, no, like, I barely know this person. I've already bought them 3 baby gifts and an engagement gift and a wedding gift. Like, until they give me something, I have like no interest anymore. Like, this is it. We're, oh my goodness, the drama that that one caused, you know, because then I was being like, I don't know, like somehow this was seen as me being resentful of them having children. I'm like, no, I don't want the children.
Well, and also they've already got the fucking prize, right? They're in love, they're happy, and they have children. Why do you keep from me?
Yeah, it's a very kind of weird dynamic that I think people still don't know what to do with. I think people don't understand. I think I confuse people particularly because I don't want children.
Do you think women have a harder time from people around that choice than men do?
Oh, like 1,000,000,000%. You don't ever really see people getting introduced or whatever as, this is so-and-so, he doesn't have kids. But I'm always like, this is Diane, she travels around the world because she doesn't have kids. Or, wow. You know, this right. is Diane, this is my single friend. Like, it's always like you have to somehow be qualified. And then when you do land up in a circle of women, like, I think guys are much more accepting of the idea that if women don't want to have children. Mm. I think they get it. I think they're like, yeah, that makes sense to me. If I didn't have a wife, I probably would be struggling as well. So they get it. But I think other women, especially like if somebody does want children, I think it's such a hard thing to understand. Like, people assume that you're covering. People assume that I am desperate to have children and I'm either too old, too single, too something else to have them. And so they might not give me a direct hard time, but I can see like almost the confusion and the awkwardness. Like, it can shut a conversation down in a group of women.
It's so interesting because I feel like it's almost the other way around for men, right? Like, so if you've got a man who desperately wants children, then he's kind of ridiculed, right? Instead of, it's our society fascinates me. Like, why do we still have these gender biases? Or like, as our generation, like, I really think it's our responsibility, part of adulting, is to shift these, right? It's to communicate, to have conversations about it, and to not let, if we see somebody else being judged for their decisions, to call people out on it and be like, why are you judging this person on their decisions? They, you know.
Yeah, it's a really interesting dynamic because I think I'm pretty traditional in most things. So I think people are then a bit like, oh, I'm not quite sure what to do with this kind of weird quirk of your personality over there. I've never had anybody kind of outright like have a go at me about it. Like, you know, how it's my responsibility or anything like that. I've had a couple of sideways looks, a couple of, oh, you haven't met the right person. Oh, you'll change your mind. Oh, I hope you froze your eggs. I mean, people will, like, people have no boundaries when it comes to this topic. Like, if you're open to speaking about it, people will ask you, like, have you frozen your eggs? Have you considered a sperm donor? Have you, like...
I get it a lot. So, I have a lot of my friends say, you don't need a man, you could do it on your own. I could, yeah. But the point for me is to do something with somebody else. I'm really capable of running stressful things on my own. I've done it my whole life. I run several businesses. Yeah. It's not the same thing at all. Like, I actually want to do it with somebody else. And so people are like, but you might be running out of time. Have you frozen your eggs? You could do it on your own tomorrow. It's so difficult to explain why that isn't an option for me.
And I think it's almost like, it's great that they're suggesting it and that they're supportive of an alternative way of having children. So let's put that out there, because there are a lot of people who would not be supportive of that.
Yeah.
But once you said, no, this is how I want to do it, it's almost offensive that they keep trying to fix it for you.
Well, and so the other one that I get a lot of is, if you did it on your own, you know, you'd be making it happen, it would definitely happen for you, then you'll meet someone and he will absolutely love you and your kid.
Ooh,
who's being God here? Like, really? That may very well happen, but you're still missing the point. It's like, it's a bit like saying, well, if you force the children thing, then I don't even know.
It's that's almost like on the lines of like having a kid to save your marriage. It's like, have a kid to attract a man. Like, could there be a worse reason in the world to have a child?
And that's really interesting for me, because one of the reasons that I didn't have the child that I spoke of when I was younger was because the response around me at that time was, you find it hard enough to get a boyfriend now, what's it going to be like if you're a single mum in your 20s? And it's just so interesting to me how all of this stuff defines us and becomes part of our story and becomes part of each other's stories, whether we realize it or not. You know, we've all got stories running. And I often think that the projections that we get of other people of like, are you sure? Or, you know, whatever it is just them processing their stories on the outside.
Yeah, I think it's like you've made a decision that's so different from the one that they would have made. It in some way makes them question themselves.
Well, that
not necessarily in a bad way, like, no. Oh, my path is wrong, but it makes them go, whoa, was this an option?
Yeah. And I have lost count of the amount of people who love their kids a lot, but if they were given their time again, might not have done it. And so there's so much going on there, because we could also go into having a whole conversation about, you know, people who aren't allowed to say that their children drive them completely nuts and they wish they had more freedom and they don't feel supported and, you know, all of those things. And so no one's got it all figured out. Like, if we come full circle, like, that is the whole point of adulting, right?
Yeah. And I think for some people, like, if people are listening and they're thinking like, oh my goodness, I've done this to people. Like, I've said, oh, you just haven't met the right man or whatever. And now you're like, I don't know. It becomes that awkward moment. It's almost like, is she pregnant? Isn't she pregnant? Like, do I say something? Don't I say something moment? But does she want to be married? Does she not want to be married? Like, I think it's fine to ask and to be curious about it and to ask questions and to understand it. But you have to make really sure that those questions are genuine. Like, they're coming from a place of like, I want to get this. I want to understand you more as a person through this versus a kind of judgmental tint to the conversation.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think it's also really important to consider where you're sitting. Like, where are you physically and where are you in that relationship? Like, I have had some people who I have just met ask me questions in a group setting around the fact that I'm not married. I travel alone a lot and everything. Like, to go deep into like, what is my sex life all about in a group setting?
When they've just met you.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think, but I would rather people talk to me about it.
It's really interesting because there's a lot of stuff in this whole world of talking, particularly around fertility and babies and relationships and, you know, all of that stuff, where there's a lot of kind of trigger warning on it, right? And people want to say, there's a lot of people who would like for us to really be mindful that we could trigger somebody into feeling really bad. And personally, whilst I really understand that, I also, I'm not up for spiritually bypassing. I'm not up for protecting someone from being triggered, right? I don't want to necessarily purposefully go and poke someone's wound and be like, ha, ha, ha. That's not what I'm about. And, you know that. But I also think stepping on eggshells around it and not having those conversations or not talking about your truth, not sharing where you are. Like, we all need to, part of adulting also is being self-responsible for ourselves and being able to say, you know what, I don't want to talk about this. Thanks. And understanding that no is a complete sentence and walking away is something that you are always capable to do, that you don't have to have conversations that you don't want to have.
Yeah. And I think us self-managing in that way and saying, I don't know you and I'm not that comfortable having this conversation with you, or just saying, look, I don't want to talk about it. If you stop asking the question because you're scared someone's going to say, no, I don't want to talk to you about this, that's what's making this the thing that nobody talks about. Mm. That's what's making some 22-year-old think that they have to get married tomorrow because it's the only option.
Mm.
That's making the person who doesn't want kids feel like they need to have kids and bringing kids into a world where they're kind of resented.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit of bravery on both sides. It's being kind of brave enough to say, hey, do you have kids? And having that person say no and leaving the topic alone, or having that person say, like me, I'll usually say, no, I don't want to have children. because I'm open to having a conversation about it.
And that, I think for me, that comes back to like really being mindful, being present in your relationships and coming from that place of curiosity rather than expectation, which, as I say, is what for me this work is all about, right? Again and again and again, what happens if we come from curiosity rather than expectation?
Yeah, exactly. So good. Chills.
Thank you so much for talking about it with me. I really, really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Yeah. And I, you know, this didn't feel uncomfortable to me.
Nope.
Yeah. It felt like there's bits I'm like, oh, I don't think I've said that publicly before, but I also don't feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. I think there'll be some people who'll be surprised about how I've spoken about it, but I think most of my friends and people that I've met have, you know, I'm very open about it. Because I'm very comfortable with the decision.
And actually, I think if anyone's listening to this, that's actually the key part, is to have done the work on your own to be comfortable with your decision one way or the other. You know, I know a lot of women who are more in my position rather than yours who feel huge amounts of shame for even talking about the fact that they do want kids and they have, that they're not in a relationship. Or, you know, I spent so many years being like, when I'm dating, I mustn't mention that I want children. I mustn't bring it up until we're in a solid relationship. Fuck that. I mention it on the first date now. I'm like, by the way, I want kids.
Yeah. I'm like, if I'm talking to someone, I'm like, how soon can I slip into this conversation that I don't want children? Because
we owe it to one another to have that up front. I don't want to fall madly in love with someone who it's an absolute no for. And the same for you. You don't want to fall madly in love with someone who it's an absolute yes for. That would just be heart-wrenching.
But for me as well, it's also, I don't want the person thinking that I'm hitting that I'm sitting with a biological clock and that I'm looking at them as the prospective father of my children.
Yeah.
Like for me, it's kind of double-sided. Like, if you want kids, I don't want to waste time with you. If you don't want kids, I want you to know that we're on the same page, like, and you can breathe.
Yeah, but I also don't want to go into dating situations where they see me just as a biological clock. I'm like, I want to do it. When I'm ready, I want to do it now. But I'm like that with all of my business decisions, right? Like, once I've made the decision, I'm ready. That doesn't mean I want to do it with anyone.
Yeah. Like, you'll do, come home. Yeah.
No. We had that discussion, right? Like, if I really wanted to do it, I'd do it on my own.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If people want to come and find out more about you and the work that you do, where's the best place for them to come?
So my website is very originally called dianemeyer.com. But I'm probably the most active, on Instagram, where I'm just Diane_Meyer. And I'm pretty much on there every day, happy to engage in DMs. I know this is probably not something people might want to talk to me about publicly, but if anybody does want to talk about it, I'm totally open to a DM on it.
Yeah, me too. Thank you for coming and talking.
My pleasure.
Have you got an I'm an adult butt for me?
Yeah, I totally have an I'm an adult butt. I'm an adult, but I still have no idea what I want to be when I grow up. I think every day I'm like, ooh, I want to do that. Ooh, I want to do that. Ooh, that, you know, I still have that kind of kid mentality around, I could still be all these things, you know?
I think that's the number one part of adulting, is to stay in touch with our inner child and that freshness that comes with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to say to people. I want to be just like you when I grow up.
I am an adult, but I love having no plan. Just as much as I love having a plan, like, I'm a planny person, but I've really embraced not being a planny person, right? So I really like having some days that just have no agenda. I also really love, I really love having those days where they do have an agenda and then you just ring everyone and go, I've changed, like, I can't adult today.
It's too much. It's too much. I'm just going to have a teenage drama moment.
Yeah,
I'm going to be a teenager today, I've decided.
Yeah, I want to lie on the bed, on my bed, and watch Netflix all day, and I'm going to do it because I'm the boss of me.
Yeah. Hallelujah. I have what I call planned spontaneity.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to, you know, I'm also, I'm a huge planner and spreadsheeter and all those things, but I try to have like at least a couple of hours somewhere in my week that's planned as a gap.
Yeah.
but that I'm not allowed to plan anything.
And I do so that. I would love to know, actually, if anyone's listening to this, if you are a planned spontaneity person, come and find us and let us know, because people used to take the piss out of me for this. They used to really laugh at me about it. Be like, that's not spontaneity. It fucking is. It's a box.
Yeah.
Labeled blank slate.
Yeah. And I do with the kid conversation is interesting, because I spoke to a client and we were talking, and he was saying, like, he was just working. And I was like, but you have like two little children, like, what about something spontaneous with them? And what we did was we put planned spontaneity into his diary. And when he hit that point, he would go to his kids and let them choose what they would do.
Oh, yes.
For the 2 hours. And it just changed everything, because the kids got to control the time. He had no control over those 2 hours, but he knew that everything else was planned around them. I mean, I can be spontaneous. I've gone traveling with no plan and everything. But when we're working and we're in business, I think people are really bad at planning in time to just do what they feel like in that moment.
Yeah, my Friday afternoons are that. My Friday afternoons are like, sometime, yeah, they're just blank. They're blank because everyone needs blank time in their diaries.
I try to do that on a Monday. That's my old middle finger to corporate. It's like not ever having to do a Monday again. Doesn't always work, but that's the day I choose to do it on.
I love that. I refuse to be at my desk at 9 a.m. on a Monday morning. I start late on a Monday.
Yeah. I try to like not do anything on a Monday.
I don't like the idea of showing up at my desk resentful. So I am allowed to come in whenever I want on a Monday.
Definitely. Like just book things later in the day. The world won't stop spinning.
Love that. Right. We are going to have to stop speaking. Oh. Thank you. Love you. You're the best.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time. We'll